From Canada Land, this is The Imposter, and I'm Aliyah Pabani. On this episode,
this is probably some like weird, maybe mildly racist thing that he's doing.
What is this? This is incredible.
We'll order more rotis. Now we need to have a talk. Anupa Mystery comes up in conversation a lot. And that's because she's responsible for introducing a whole lot of people to artists outside of Toronto's white downtown core at a time when the Canadian music scene was being defined almost exclusively by various flavors of indie rock band. And even though she might not want to talk about it right now, she was talking about Drake before Drake was Drake. Anupa's been writing about music, culture, and politics for almost a decade now, and her work's been in Pitchfork, The Guardian, Rolling Stone, and the CBC, which is why I was surprised when I read that she didn't actually want to become a successful writer. Her ultimate goal was to be an editor so that she could be a gatekeeper, but the kind that leaves the gate open for other writers of color to do what she did. And even though Anupa's now the Canada editor for The Fader, which is this music magazine based out of New York, she kind of struggled to come up with recommendations for this episode. And the reason was that since she edits tons of content for work, there's not a lot of room left in her brain for thinking about what she actually likes and can form an independent thought about. But it turns out she had lots of independent thoughts about some things that I would not have expected. So one of the first recommendations was this tweet that you directed me to that was a video.
Oh, right, yeah.
Of The Weeknd in studio from what appears to be a long time ago.
Yeah, this was definitely probably before he put out his first mixtape. You could tell by the hair and like kind of his little baby face, and he's really smiling a lot and not the kind of dour dude that we know today, you know?
Yeah.
Very different personality.
Yeah.
And being
yeah.
like very silly is really cute video, I thought. But particularly like what I loved about it is like the last, I don't even know, like 15 seconds or something like that when, so basically in this clip, he's cycling through beats. He's in the studio, the producer's queuing up all these beats and he's kind of freestyling and singing over them. And you can really hear like how talented he kind of naturally is. Like he just has this naturally pretty voice. And then, you know, at the end of the clip, the producer cues up a beat that's like a Bhangra style beat. And he starts to sing over that beat like he's like a Punjabi Bhangra folk singer. And it's like a perfect, I mean, he's saying nonsense words, like he's obviously not saying real words, but kind of the inflection and like the way he modulates his voice is like a perfect kind of, yeah, impression or impersonation of a Bhangra singer, and it's pretty great.
I'm gonna like just fully confess that I don't think I've heard The Weeknd speak.
Oh,
like what? Like, because I feel like he did an accent prior to, and he was like talking about shit or saying the word shit a bunch of times.
It sounds like somebody's taking a shit, a big fucking shit.
I don't know. You know, I think I kind of like my ears kind of turned inwards during the accent because I was like, this is probably some like weird, maybe mildly racist thing that he's doing. I'm just going to keep going till
you're like going to scrub
till there's
that.
Something interesting, you know.
Yep.
But you know, okay, the other reason why I love this, because this is kind of the thing that I go on about all the time, which is what makes Toronto special. And it's like this Ethiopian kid from Scarborough doing this like pitch perfect impersonation. Clearly, like, he probably heard it, like, you know, at school or, I don't know, through friends or whatever. But I don't think that that's something you'd find happening in a lot of places.
Yeah.
In some places, I'll concede, you know, but not in a lot of places. And I think that's what made me kind of fall in love with this clip.
And it's also, like, for me, it's, like, I love these videos that kind of remind you that these guys are kind of like your like dorky cousin.
Yeah, he's totally a dorky cousin in that clip.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like off brand because it was like prior to kind of having one.
Yeah,
in a real
it's
way.
Before he even had a brand.
Yeah.
Before he like decided to be like mysterious and like not talk. You know? It's just like even watching it and kind of seeing him smile. It's kind of weird because he doesn't smile all that often. I know.
There was like a moment when I was watching it. Well, first when I was watching it, I was like, I thought that what you were directing me to was like what he's saying. So I was like, yeah. Aaliyah, like, listen to what he's saying. But I was like, I don't know what
I should
saying.
Have been more specific.
Yeah. I was like trying to transcribe. I was like square bracket inaudible. But I like it almost like took me a second to even like, I was like, is that the same person?
Yeah,
like
because totally.
It was just like, yeah, not only physical features, but the way he was carrying himself was just like so like drastically
relaxed.
Different than
yeah.
what we normally see.
Yeah.
The main key is the shit together. But hip hop and SMS, he can
hide
the shit.
Scar, bro.
And he pulls the main key
and then takes them.
The green card and
hey.
After ever. Ever.
It seemed like it was like a guy watching the video and yelling stuff at
yeah.
his phone recording of the video.
Yeah, it was a weird like inception situation. Yeah, we're watching a phone recording, I think, of someone watching the video on a computer or maybe another phone. And you could hear that person yelling like and providing their kind of meta commentary in the back.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
And he's like yelling Scarborough.
Yeah. And actually there's a few, like that link I sent you, there's a thread and there's a few more pieces to that session that this video is recorded in. They're not as good as that first one. And I don't think they really provide any more clues as to the identity of the people in the studio. But yeah.
Do you think that The Weeknd was like, take that down?
That wasn't my initial thought. Although, I mean, that could be the case. I just think that sometimes these things take a while to surface. I don't think it was ever up anywhere, you know? I think that, like, this is just, like, someone maybe found some old phone stuff and decided to throw it up on a message board, which is actually where it originated.
Okay.
And then someone migrated it to Twitter.
And how did you first see it?
Oh, I found it because I follow that Twitter account, The Six Track, which is, like, this kid who just blogs about all Toronto rap things. And is a super fan and is a very good resource. And six is not spelt out. It's the number six.
Okay, like in the old times.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Before Drake. Oh, wait. Just the number six.
Yes, okay, just the
gotcha.
Number six. Not number six, IX. Yeah.
Oh, fucking.
I know. Just and also, while I'm here, I recommend never using that phrase.
The six.
Ever, yes.
Okay, but when you refer to Toronto as anything other than Toronto, do you?
I don't. I just
you
call
don't,
it
right?
Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're just waiting on something good, or you don't really
no,
need to.
I don't
like, you
need
can
it.
Call New York New York. You don't need to call it the Big Apple. Like, you don't need to.
People from New York definitely don't call it the Big Apple. They call it New York. So we can call it Toronto. It's totally fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
I actually think it's like a dead giveaway that you're like not from here if you refer to it as anything but Toronto.
This episode of The Imposter is sponsored by Vinyl Me Please. Vinyl Me Please is a record of the month club that's kind of like those Columbia House CD subscriptions from the 90s, except that they actually have good music. Vinyl Me Please works with labels and artists to come up with these special edition vinyls that you just can't find in a record store or online. And that means their records are stunning. They look like geothermal hot springs and chemical explosions and other really beautiful things. And if you don't like the album they feature, they'll swap it out and send you something else from their archive. You can choose from a monthly, 3-month, or annual option, and you can cancel at any time. Join the Vinyl Me Please Record Club by going to joinvmp.com/theimposter, get an exclusive new record each month, and you'll be doing the show a favor. Again, that's joinvmp.com/theimposter. Tell us about Nav.
So Nav is he's a rapper / producer from here, from Toronto, from Rexdale specifically. That's the neighborhood that he represents. And he's been kind of floating around on SoundCloud and the internet for about just over a year. I think he kind of surfaced around the end of 2015, or that's when people kind of started paying attention. And in the last year, he's kind of had like these big cosigns. So he got like the coveted like Kylie Jenner, like when she Snapchats and like lip syncs to your song. Like she did that. And that, you know, was a little boost for him. And then The Weeknd kind of shared one of his music videos. And then he was on an album by the rapper Travis Scott. And then he just put out his album the end of last month. It came out on The Weeknd's EXO imprint. So, and also he's like on tour with Drake right now.
Okay.
So Drake is touring with like a bunch of local rappers and they're opening up for select dates in Europe with him. So like a lot of pretty major and substantial cosigns in a very short period of time. But I don't know. I want to be really happy for Nav because Nav is a Punjabi dude from the GTA. And I grew up with people like him. So I'm really rooting for him. I'm like, okay, I saw the Weeknd clip that the Six Track posted. And I was like, I see the connection, you know, that maybe they like listen to Bhangra together. I don't know. But like the music leaves a lot to be desired. And, you know, I also am very wary of the fact that I am like the old person in this conversation.
Right.
So it's totally cool. Like young people can make like this kind of like moody music, this like self-loathing stuff that they like really, really want to do.
If I'ma talk, I'ma talk, I'ma keep it real. Me and my boys, we would split a pill. Noodles and pots in a pot was a nigga meal. Now that we on, we gon' split a meal. I take a jet when I'm overseas. None of my girls gon' get over me. Shout out to Hawk, shout out Julie, shout out Hennessy. Them be my bros till the death of me. Nobody, nobody know how I really be. I got some bars for a nigga if you wanna see. Dress up your talk if a nigga wanna talk to me.
The big thing, and this is kind of what I'm trying to touch on in this piece that I'm working on, is that he says the N-word in his songs. And I'm not the first person to notice it. Like, lots of people have noticed it. And part of the reason I've been trying actually super hard to get an interview with him is so we can talk about it. Because I don't want to, like, I don't know. I don't
want to diss it.
Yeah, I don't want to. Well, I mean, I think it's wrong. Like, let me just state that for the record. But, like, he's, like, young. And I just, like, want to have a conversation about it. Because it's not just that he's, like, putting the stuff out there on his own. He's, like, being supported in doing this stuff by other people. And so, you know, for me, it's like, I'd rather have a conversation about it. But I haven't been able to get an interview with him. He's not doing press right now.
So are you going to address it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it kind of needs to be said because there hasn't been too much substantial writing on this record. And, you know, maybe that says a lot about the music itself. But this dude has kind of been a big part of what I've been paying attention to, what a lot of people have been paying attention to. I mean, frankly, it's like my beat. It's like it fits squarely in the center of my beat, you know, like hip hop, GTA, identity, diaspora, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's
if
like
he would just stop saying the N-word.
Yeah, well, and it's just like it's like if anyone's going to like address it, like it should be someone like me.
It should definitely
you know?
Be someone like you. Yeah. You could take him out for dinner or something and be like, listen.
Yeah.
We understand each other, right? Yeah. Like, do you want more rotis? Yeah. We'll order more rotis. Now we need to have a talk.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Nav.
Okay. I'm confused about a thing.
Sure.
That whole thing that you just said was so confusing to me because it's really hard for me to figure out what part of Nav you are recommending.
Oh, I know.
Because you're
right?
Just like, he's a brown guy, he's from Rexdale, his music, I don't know. We're all paying attention to him. I can identify with him, we're from the same, like.
Well, but see, I think this speaks to the fact that, like, he's fucking up in a very significant way, but, like, like, I don't want to hate him, you know? I don't want to hate him. I'm really rooting for him. I, like, hope that he can, like, change his ways and get past it. Although it's, like, that really sucks that you have a permanent record of that stuff, like, floating around on the internet about you.
Mm-hmm. He seems like a quiet kind of nerd.
Well, yeah, I know, right? And, like, this is, like, kind of the interesting thing about it. Like, you know, I think... lots of people are also, like, kind of having fun making fun of him, yeah. And, which is also, like, really shitty. I mean, it's, like, I kind of feel like what he's doing in his music is, like kind of very obvious, like, mimicry of, like, what he's seeing around him. And, like, I totally understand, like, why young people, and particularly young people, are kind of figuring out their identity, as all young people do stuff like that. You know, they see what feels desirable to them, and they want to be a part of it. But I think, like, when people kind of position him as, like, a nerd, or, like, take shots maybe, like, at his masculinity, or, like, you know, make jokes about him being, like, he looks like the guy from, like, who works at, like, the corner store, you know, yeah. Like, or, like, fixes my cell phone screen, yeah. Or whatever.
It, like, racially charged,
yeah,
kind of things. Yeah,
it's very interesting because it, like, kind of points to the fact that, like, he's trying to align, like, with one experience, and he's being aligned with another experience. And what he really has to do in his music is kind of figure out where he fits in, mm-hmm. and kind of define himself for other people.
I had questions about kind of self-portrayal in that video for Some Way, which features The Weeknd.
Yeah.
And, like, one of the lyrics that stuck out to me was, like, first brown boy to get it popping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that to me is, like, it's almost, like, self-consciously nerdy. Is that just my reading of it? I don't know.
I think that's, like, the one way. So he's branded himself brown boy, and, like, that is the one way in kind of which he's created a little bit of an identity. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that, I find that nerdy, though. Like, I hear that and I'm like, oh, like, I just think it's, like, ahistoric. And I'm like,
right. You're like, you're not.
You're not. Like, you know?
That's another good point.
Yeah.
The one thing I was curious about is that, you know, he's this dude who's, like, working with The Weeknd, he's, like, touring with Drake. He, like, tweets something inane about, like, finding drugs and gets, like, thousands of retweets. But, like, yeah, he's just, like, he doesn't really have much of a personality. Like, people love him, but, like, it's not really clear why to me.
I do think that there are, like, a few kind of interesting musical ideas on his record. They're far between. I do think he really shines as a producer. He's a much better producer than he is a rapper or vocalist, at least right now. But I think, like, what people like about him is that he executes a very specific style of music, like, really well. What it actually is he is directly influenced by The Weeknd. He's, like, kind of like this 2.0, and you can trace that, like, right back. You know, it's like, you know that when Nav started making music, House of Balloons was, like, the biggest thing, and The Weeknd was the biggest thing, and that is what maybe even inspired him to start making music. I also think, like, the cosigns do mean a lot, you know, and this just shows you, like, kind of the power of, like, someone like The Weeknd or Drake. You know, it's like, whatever they endorse, like, people will follow it. You know, I mean, like I said, there hasn't been too much about the record, which means it's not, like, a critical success or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But people are willing to kind of invest in what The Weeknd is investing in, or what Drake is investing in. And I think that's kind of where you're seeing, like, the 12,000 retweets,
right,
come from, you know?
Right.
Also, people like drugs, so, you know.
At the risk of this being something you're, like, don't want to answer, I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
So what do you think? I mean, I was kind of on Facebook a while ago, and Bambi,
mm-hmm.
DJ from Toronto,
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that for other
right.
people, not for you. she had posted about how, like, you know, OVO and Drake and that whole thing has kind of been established here for a while. And she was like, where are all the women on the bill? Like, where are all the queer artists on the bill? And I guess I just, like, put that question to you in a way, not, like, Anupa, get those people on the bill. But I'm just like, what's going on? Like,
I mean, it's like, if we listen to their music, we can answer that question.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think, like, it's any deeper than that. You know, I don't think that women are there's like this kind of weird public narrative about Drake being like really like respectful of women in his life. And like, I do believe that he probably is, you know, in his interpersonal relationships with women. But at the same time, I do think that like both him and The Weeknd definitely treat women as like accessories in their music. And I think that that's why we're not seeing stuff like that. And I like can't even broach like the queer thing. Like I have not seen either of those guys brush up with anything like remotely resembling anything to do with queerness, you know? That kind of brings me to another bridge thought, which is that, you know, everyone talks about how Toronto's so, in the past few years, I guess the narrative's been that Toronto's so hot right now. But we're really only seeing people, at least within the hip-hop scene, I feel like we're really only seeing people find substantial pathways to success through Drake and maybe now through The Weeknd. And to me, that's, you know, and I will own up to the fact that I've, you know, done a little bit of cheerleading myself in the past. But definitely in the past year, I've just been thinking a lot about how we can't really say it's hot right now if people don't have, like, agency to, like, kind of build careers for themselves or to play shows or to, like, get label support or whatever the case may be, like, to actually, like, be artists. It's one thing to, like, go on SoundCloud and, like, trawl and find, like, a million artists tagged Toronto. Like, that's going to exist regardless. People are going to make music regardless. But if Toronto was like really hot, if it was really Music City, like they're trying to say it is, then like people wouldn't be like struggling artists either. You know what I mean?
Right. Do you find like now more than ever, there's like a situation where because of places like SoundCloud, like a lot of Toronto artists are able to gain like a huge following for their music, but not necessarily turn that into like other opportunities?
Yeah. I mean, like one of the we recently ran a story on this rapper Puffy L's, who's part of Halal Gang, which is like a small collection of rappers that kind of represent Regent Park, and they're mostly East African, they're mostly Somali, I believe. Last year, I believe, or maybe it was 2 years ago, I can't remember now, I'm getting my timelines confused. But anyway, Drake kind of posted a clip of one of their songs on his Instagram. And that kind of led to like a little bit more of a spike in the attention surrounding them. And they do have like a large following. And one of the guys, Smoke Dog, recently like went to London to like headline a show. I don't even think he's played a headlining show here, you know? Mm. But people outside are taking them seriously. Like they did a BBC One Extra freestyle. Like they're doing these things that are like, there are opportunities, whether they like lead to something, who knows? But like these are these little kind of footnotes in the path to stardom for like lots of different kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And there's no opportunity for them to do anything like that here.
I don't really believe in full recommendations. I'm like in the wrong job because I'm like, yeah, I like this enough.
I know, but I'm like, I like recommending things that make people think about stuff.
Yeah. You
know? Unless I'm recommending like Bridget Jones's Baby, in which case I'm like, just watch it. It's great. You'll love it. You know?
Bridget Jones's Baby.
It's fucking excellent.
Yeah? Tell
me
about it.
I just don't really like Renee Zellweger as an actress, but I admire her commitment to the Bridget Jones role. And I think, you know, I think for years she's like really dodged a lot of like stuff about her appearance and like also has like, I don't want to say fallen victim to it, but like kind of succumbed to some of it. Like, yeah. I think for a while she was looking pretty like plasticky. But in this, I think she's just like kind of, she seems like really comfortable playing like kind of like an older woman. When I say older, I mean like her 40s. I believe she celebrates her 40th birthday in this, who just kind of looks her age and is like, I think in this movie they like actually like let her, they don't like allow her to be as ditzy as in previous Bridget Jones's movies. I mean, sure, like there's like this whole baby daddy drama that's the central conflict in this film, but like in her work situation she's like super on it. She's still like a goofball, but like is a boss and like is given responsibilities and like takes responsibilities. And like there's a funny scene where like they're backstage at some festival And she also has like work lady friends who are, you know, also on their shit. And
right.
It's nice. So they go away for a weekend and she thinks they're going to like some like, you know, lady in her late 30s, early 40s, like spa getaway. And her younger work friend is like, no, we're going to the festival. You need to get fucked. Like, whatever. And so they're backstage at like some Glastonbury type festival and they want to take a photo and they hand their phone to Ed Sheeran. And they're like, can you take a photo? And he goes to take a selfie. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing? Because they don't know who he is.
Right.
And I kind of love that because I've never heard an Ed Sheeran song in my life.
Right.
I heard it for the first time when watching this movie. I was like, oh, I hear that in the supermarket sometimes. That's who that is.
It's so identifiable.
Yeah.
So, okay, the next thing you recommended was this duo that I'd never heard of before.
The Blaze.
Yes. And this mini movie, as it was called in the Fader article that it was posted in. And I'm wondering if we could just kind of start off by like describing the content of the video, because that's like such a kind of operative.
Yeah, it's actually really funny because I saw this video when I was like... I was at a friend's house in Montreal and like we were, you know, doing that thing where you, oh, have you seen this music video? Have you seen that music video? And we were like totally stoned off some edibles and like he put it on and I was just like, what is this? This is incredible. I was like, and then I tried to Google them and probably was failing because I was like too out of it. But eventually I was able to find it. And then I was
note
like,
that when you said you tried to Google them, you like clicked with your hand as though you were doing like a presentation Google? To a bunch of like tech startups. Like you like pressed a button.
No, I'm on my phone. Okay. I was on my phone trying to Google. Not with two. Yeah, I would probably have done it with two.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
I was just doing
I just wanted to
Google.
Clarify what was going on there.
And then when I finally did Google it correctly. Also, they're not easy to Google. The Blaze is not the most search engine friendly. But anyway, the first link that came up was ours. And I was like, oh yeah, we premiered this. And I totally missed it.
We're working for this day. We shed some tears of love now, like a desert in the rain, when some of the dead are waking up, yeah. There's nobody like my mom, there's no place like my home since I was born, when I was young, the flavor is so strong, I've missed it so long, yeah.
This is what I think it is. It is a mini film of a young man who looks like he's returning home on some kind of ferry or boat. And I believe like it must be like Algeria or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the opening shot is like him on the boat kind of approaching the land. And then there's these beautiful shots of him like kind of in a home tearing up, and his face has like so much emotion. The actor is incredible. Then you just see like all of these hands kind of like touching his head, like pulling him in for a hug. You see all these hands and all these faces, and then you just see him kind of being this dude who has been elsewhere and seen other things, and it then is like kind of really happy to be home. And we don't know if he's home for good or if he's just home for a visit or what the case may be, but he's, you know, on the rooftop of this building where he's staying, smoking cigarettes and hanging out with his friends who are all men. So there's also like these very interesting gender dynamics. There's a couple scenes I love. One is when three of the guys are praying at dawn. Mm-hmm. He's sitting out. So they've got their three prayer mats out or prayer rugs out and they're praying and he's kind of just sitting off to the side smoking. And then there's another scene, looks like it's like taken in some cafe where they're all smoking shisha. And again, it's just like all men. Mm-hmm. So
Like 12 or 13 men.
Yeah. And
also
they're all
at the beach.
They're all kind of sitting. Yeah, the beach is beautiful. In the Shisha Cafe, they're all kind of sitting. I love, it made me think of India. I was just in India, and I always forget there that, like, men touch each other. They're very affectionate with each other. And this was also like that. You know, these men are kind of sitting in this, like, U-shaped kind of nook, and they're all kind of draped on each other, smoking and, like, looking cool, but, like, really, like, being affectionate with each other. There was one more that's, like, super incredible, but now I can't remember it.
Well, there was,
oh,
like,
in the house. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the courtyard.
In the courtyard, which is also, like, just, like, that shot is so beautiful when they're in, like, the courtyard of this house, which feels, like, very much, like, specific to that part of the world or to India. And he's playing a gorilla and, like, kind of chasing the kids around. But, like, when I watched it, I was like, this dude's, like, commitment to this role is, like, kind of, I'm like, this guy, who is this guy? I want to watch every movie he's ever going to be in and, like, give him an Academy Award for this music video, like,
totally,
on its own. Because it's just, I don't know, I just think he brings, like, a lot of emotion to this music video. So he's not even in the band, you know? He's just, like, some actor who this director slash music duo, The Blaze, that's what they are. They're directors and music producers, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm like, what is that? And who are these people?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what they look like? Are they around? Like, they're so hard to Google. If you, like, Google them, there's, like, not much about them. They call themselves different things. They're, like, mysterious. They're referred to as mysterious.
Right. So they have another video for a song. I can't remember. The song that we're talking about is called Territory.
Is it Virile?
Yeah. I don't know if those two are the guys who are in it. I kind of don't think they are, though.
Okay.
But maybe they're meant to be, like, avatars of the duo. I love that what these guys are doing with these videos that they're putting out is, like, kind of commenting on, like, masculinity and stuff like that. Like, the men who are cast in these videos are, to me, I think, like, pretty, like, hyper masculine. It feels like a very specific type of, like, Euro kind of, like, young Arab Euro masculinity. Then they're touching each other and kind of getting in each other's faces in a way that's just, like, a little bit not over the line, but, you know, kind of a step in that direction where you're just kind of like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's like,
it adds
aggressive
a little bit of,
but playful.
Yeah,
or it's like, yeah, definitely in that
erotic tension.
It's definitely in that hookah scene, that Shisha smoking room scene. It's also because the camera is so tight.
Yeah.
Like, there are moments where it's kind of panning on all their limbs. And, like, my brain, because of the way that we are taught or the images that we see in our culture, is like, you expect to see, like, a woman. Like, you see a hand draped over a shoulder in a particular way. And then you expect that, like, you'll see someone's girlfriend or something. And you just don't. And I think that that's, like, part of what I really liked about the video was that it almost seems to refer to so much so many images that we have seen in, like, cinema, but there are these, like, reversals that happen. So one of the things that I noticed, you were talking about how the video begins with someone on a boat, but I thought it was cool that it starts with the image of the, like, ocean or the horizon and going away from it. My brain is like, oh, this is a video about leaving home. And then it switches and you see, like, over the shoulder of the person who's on the boat and you're like, oh, no, he's actually going towards a place that is arguably his home. And you just don't see that many images of that particular scenario. Like, it's often, like, people getting deported or being ripped away from.
Right. And that's exactly what's the most compelling thing about it. Whether it's a permanent return narrative or just, like, got a little money and came back to see everyone and say I'm okay narrative, like, you don't ever see that, you know? And yeah, that's totally what's, like, super, super compelling about it.
Yeah, and, like, I guess in terms of, like, images, like, because the narrative right now is so much, like, people want to leave their homelands and come and take advantage of our healthcare system or whatever. But I think that, yeah, that's one of the main things that I appreciated about this was it was, like, actually conveying to the viewer the value that people place on and how hard it is for people to actually leave that place.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that, and there's also, like, little hints of And this is just, you know, assumptions now being made. But there are also like little hints of like how being away has changed him, you know, like maybe he did used to pray and maybe he's not praying anymore, or maybe he never prayed. I don't know. But, you know, like I feel like there's that. Or, you know, kind of towards the end, like you can tell his like friends are kind of fading out and he's still like going super hard, smoking a cigarette, like dancing on the roof, and they're just kind of like sitting and they're ending their night, but he's like I'm home, you know, I'm so thrilled to be here. The music's good too, but the visuals are like so beautiful. I'm like super super excited to see what else they do.
That was Anupa Mystery, who reserves a clear and uncomplicated kind of love for Bridget Jones's baby. Anupa also wants you to check out a video where The Weeknd talks about shitting with what might be an Indian accent. The Twitter account of the 6 track with the number 6. Nav, the first brown boy to get it poppin', and specifically the song Some Way featuring The Weeknd. And the mini movie Territory by The Blaze. We've got links to all this stuff at canadalandshow.com/imp. The Imposter is produced by Kevin Sexton, and our theme music is by Nathan Burley. You can find us on Twitter at Imster, that's I-M-P-S-T-R, and I'm on Twitter at Aaliyah Pabani. Okay, so if you're anywhere in or near Abbotsford, British Columbia, we're coming to you for a free live show this Saturday, March 18th at the University of Fraser Valley, and I am genuinely very excited about the lineup. Comedian Fatima Do-Rey's got a funny story about a house fire. We'll tell you about this feminist novel that got banned in feminist bookstores. We've got live music and animations from Morning Coup. And we're going to go check out Chad Kroeger from Nickelback's $9 million Abbotsford Mansion, because I have poor impulse control and I just can't not do it. You can find all the details on our Facebook or by going to canadalandshow.com/events. Our crowdfunding site is patreon.com/canadaland. And if you like this show, do us a big favor and tell your people about it.